aluminum body and more man-made, nothing like it. Have your Bibles turned with us to 2 Samuel chapter 23 as we look into the Word of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to begin reading down there in verse number 7. Verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite, that sat in the seat chief among the captains. The same was Ado, the Ezai. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hohite, one of the three mighty men of David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and he quailed under the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammai, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. And where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. And he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And a troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in Hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, and was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee in the name which is above every name, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanking Thou, our God, through His blood, that I have exiled by this night into Thy presence. Ask of Thee, our Father, that You'll set a watch at the door of my lips. Don't let me preach anything. Be contrary to the Bible, the Word of God. For whatsoever I preach might minister grace to the hearer. Encourage the saint. Edify the body of Christ. Glorify the Son of God. Convict the sinner, Lord. We come here tonight that we may gather around the Word of God, that we may draw from the wells of Thy mighty well, Lord, tonight. And God, I'm asking You to anoint me in that mighty power of the Spirit of God. I need that unction from on high, Lord, that I may bring forth the Word of God tonight. You may go forth and accomplish the purpose You intended. For You said, God, that Your Word would not come back void. And our Father, we believe that tonight. Now, Lord, sanctify my heart and the Bible, Lord. And God, I'll praise You and I'll thank You. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In verse number 15, and David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." I want to bring a message like, "Oh, the water of the well of Bethlehem." Now, as we sit here in the presence of God and His great book open under these divine passages of Holy Scripture, with great setting forth unto us, in which there is the needed power of the Holy Spirit to bring them forth. Now, as we open our hearts unto the words that He has set before us, that He that is ever lovely may step forth in our presence, that He might we might behold Him in all His divine majesty. Now, David, we know, is a type in the Bible of Jesus Christ, the King of Israel. But he is in flight from Saul and found himself in the cave of Adullam. There's no doubt, very weary and thirsty, he began to let his mind drift back to those times when he used to attend his dead sheep in the Judean hills, and he'd get kind of thirsty and And he remembered that gate. Think about that well by the gate of Bethlehem. Now I'm told that there's not many wells in the area, but we know there's more than one because he specifies one well, and that's well by the gate. And we notice also that the Philistines were in Bethlehem. The Philistines is always around those things which pertain unto God. You'll find that we have those Palestinians today who are causing all the trouble in the land of Israel. Them Philistines are still around. And so we find here David, though David's not the king, but he is the anointed king. He is God's king. And Saul is not right with God. He's lost the power of God, and God's took the spirit away from him. We find here in the Word of God how David is the one that went out and fought Goliath and defeated Goliath. If you'll notice in the Scriptures, David never one time called that man a giant. He never one time said that Goliath was a giant. He called him that uncircumcised Philistine. And the reason David never called him that, because David didn't see the giant, he saw God. Saul probably saw the giant. David's three brothers that was up there with Saul, their problem was they saw a giant. David saw God.
Amen.
And that's how he was able to go out and defeat him, because he told him, "I come to thee in the name of the host of the God of Israel, and he'll deliver thee this day into my hand." David knows what it was to be out on that Judean hill. You know what it was when a bear came up, and that bear came up and took one of his lamb, and David went out and slew that bear. You know when a lion came up there, and he went out and slew that lion. So when Saul calls David forth to the battle, he said, you can't go out against this man, because you're just a lad. He's been a man of war from his youth up. So David began to rehearse that time with the bear and the lion. And he told Saul, said, "Don't fear, I'll go out and I'll fight the giant." Went out and defeated him. So we find here, we find David now, he's fleeing from Saul. Saul is after him, and he's found himself down in his cave, and he's weary and he's thirsty from the journey and from the warfare and the fleeing from Saul. So now let us take a good look at the well by the gate of Bethlehem. Notice that it's a certain well that David longed for a drink of the water from that well. It was that water. It was that well by the gate, he said. He specified the one that won't. I'm told that in Bethlehem there's not much water, but I'm sure there's more than one well, because David has specified a certain well. But when we begin to look at the well, we know there is only one that can satisfy the longing of the thirst in David, and that was that well by the gate. Now let us behold the well that God dug in Bethlehem. Say, God dug a well in Bethlehem. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14, he said, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel Lord came with them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Notice that God said to all people. He didn't say just to Israel. He said, "Good tidings to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth of peace, and goodwill for men." Verse 15. And it came to pass as the angel were borne away from them in the heaven, the shepherds said, "Wanderer, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known." Now let's go see what God has done. God has dug a well in Bethlehem. Now, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ revealed to the woman, he revealed that he was the living water. The Bible said in John chapter 4, God, and who had ever said that he'd give me the drink, thou would have asked him, and he would give it thee, the living water. Then the woman said him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Oh, dear soul, you don't really know. That woman didn't know how deep the well was when she was talking that day. She didn't realize the one she had talking to was the well of water. That springs up in everlasting life. Thank God she didn't dread. And listen, they've been trying to measure that well for years. Men have stood and preached about that living water that comes from Jesus Christ. I need the depths of this well to feel the true purity of the water. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. I'm glad, thank God. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:20, who did no sin, neither was guile found to smile. From which then hast thou, she said, from which then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, dear child? Yes, sir. I mean the one standing before you is greater than Jacob. Thank God he is the creator of Jacob. He's the one that made Jacob. Oh, I'm glad that old Syrophoenician woman, when she came this week, may God let me preach on this, but when she came, she looked at Jesus Christ and she said, truth, Lord, that the dogs eat from the crumb that fall from the basket. That gal realized who was standing before her. She realized he is the creator of the world. Boy, we need to grasp the fact that, boy, he said to her, answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Boy, he said to her and said, you drink of this water, and you will thirst again. But the water I shall give you, you shall never thirst again. Matter of fact, he told her, he said, it'd be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad, April 30th, 1962, I drunk from that well of water that's been springing up into everlasting life ever since that 4 to 7 years. Thank God it's sprung up. Now, only Jesus Christ can give you the water that springs up into everlasting life. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting. No wonder. No wonder, thank God, the children of Israel hold their Numbers chapter 21, verse 17. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, oh well, sing you to it. Thank God, what we need down here this week is a well to spring up. All we need a well of water to spring up. I said, let's walk in here and walk into the power of God all around. And that well of water spring up, maybe some of them, and get a drink of that water. And spring up in the everlasting life. Thank God that one day it spring up. Now listen. Now David got a glimpse of God at that well because he poured it out before the Lord. I mean, David got a glimpse of God. But when you get a glimpse of God, it'll change your life. The Bible said, old David talking about over there in Psalm 42, 1, 2, as the heart panteth after the water, but so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul's thirst before God, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? David said, talking about a deer, talking about old deer, and he's running him, and the dogs are chasing him, and he's thirsty, and that deer's thinking about, he remembers how that old brook of water, if I just get to that old brook of water, get me a fresh drink, boy, I can run a long time. Boy, that's what David's talking about, trying to, that this great truth may stir again every old thirst in your heart. I'm talking about tonight, that the Holy Spirit of God put a real thirst in you, and you'll be stirred up for a real thirst of the living water. Oh, you want a fresh drink of that fountain that'll stir your soul, cut a shout in your heart, a skip in your heel, and come cause you over to run from God. Run from God. Now David poured out the water that he had gotten unto the Lord. Now my brother and sister, this water is more than just a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. There lies a great truth from God here, and David said that this truth, for I'm not drinking that water, but pouring it out. right. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. Boy, I'm telling you, but when you begin to think about it, what day when he poured that water out, brother Jesus Christ was poured out on the cross of Calvary. He said, I'm poured out my water. He poured out his body, his soul, and his spirit down the cross of Calvary. That hell-bound sinners could know to come to know Jesus Christ. Be born to birth the family of God. Head out yonder toward the land of endless ages. One day we're going to get to see him. How now these three mighty men, they broke through. They broke through there. They went that gate and they brought that water back to God. Not old David, but I'm glad David didn't drink that water. If David had drank that water, this truth would have been lost, that Jesus Christ was poured out. What a great truth it was that our Lord and Savior, brother, he poured it all out on Calvary. I mean, he gave it all on the cross of Calvary because while his Father had forsaken him on the cross, listen, the Bible says over there in the book of Hebrews, it's talking about Jesus Christ and how he purged our sins by himself. That's why he cried out from Calvary and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. He wasn't, but he was taking your place. He took my place right there. Well, it doesn't matter because he didn't say, my Father. He said, my God, because he had just took Bobby Ellis' place on the cross of Calvary. He was now dying in that place on the cross of Calvary. Paying for my sin, that God could forgive me and cleanse me. Oh, thank God I'm dead. He pointed all on Calvary.
Amen.
Now let us, by the grace of God, take a practical look at the well by the gate of Bethlehem. That's just water. There's nothing more about it important about it. Just water. This is just water. It's nothing really important about it. It'll quench the thirst. It's what man has to have it. But there's really nothing important about it. People water their lawns with it. I mean, water's just there's plenty of it. I mean, we got the drought back here. Everybody got a word about, oh my God, I'm thinking God always takes care of it. I'm not worried about it. People's talking about the wells running dry. I said, I'm not worried about my well going dry. Brother, my well didn't come close to going dry. People talking to them, well, what about your well at church? I said, it's 325 foot. Bless God. 30 gallons of minute, and it ain't about to run dry. I said, these boys that these 100 foot wells might lose it. But boy, them down to 275 foot. Said, it ain't no problem. It'll take a long time to get rid of it. So what? Not that important. David, the great king of Israel, as being the anointed of God, was communing with God down there in that cave, and he's asking God for something. Now, according to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives, and thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would more have given unto you thee such and such things. In other words, God said, David, whatever you ask. I mean, David's down there. You know what he could ask? He could ask, he said, God, don't you kill Saul. Don't you kill Saul. God killed him. God killed Saul just as dead as anything. He didn't ask for the life of Saul. He didn't ask for life. He just said, I want a drink of water. I want a drink of water by the well of it. Now, according to the Bible, a man's life is like water poured out. David, even though in the passage of this Holy Scripture is prophetical concerning the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, but David himself, down there in the cave, he's like a poured out. He's like water poured out on the ground. You pour water on the ground, it's just soaked up and it's cold. Job 3:23, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roaring are poured out like water. Man is like poured out like water upon this earth. And now, what makes this water bad? Your man is just like water poured out, but what makes that water important? The king wanted it. That's what makes, hey, you know what makes me important? Jesus wanted me. The king wanted me. That's what. I may be like water poured out, but I'm going to tell you, I'm important because the king wanted me.
Amen.
The king wanted me. The Lord has it over in the book of Psalms. I believe it's chapter 2. The Bible said over there that God gave his son. His son asked him. Mm-hmm. He said, ask the heathen, and I'll give them for an inheritance unto you. Mm-hmm. And God said, you ask them, and I'll give them. And he said, I'll only give them an inheritance. He said, I'll give you the possession of all this earth. Now, above this crowd, Bush, all that crowd, they can give away that land on yonder and play all their games they want to. But I'm going to tell you one thing, that one day, after we go home and we pass the judgment seat of Christ, the king's coming.
Amen.
And I tell you, he ain't come right on the axe.
Right.
He's come right on the stagnant blood. He's come to take this world. He's going to take it by force.
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't come down to kiss nobody.
Amen.
I mean, he's coming down there. The United Nations is going to meet him over in the valley of Jezreel. And he's going to trail him like a wine press. The blood's going to flow to the horse's bridle. And that valley is 53 miles wide, 150 miles long, and the blood's going to be about 6 foot deep in that valley. When he takes the United Nations over, and brother, he treads the United Nations. Oh, baby, hey, baby, they better kick him out of school. They better kick him out of the government. They better throw him out of America. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Thank God one day he's coming. The Lord of God is coming with him. He'll be right on that stand before we come out here to take. Well, I'm telling you, thank God. I'm glad, Lord God, hallelujah. I mean, listen, he wanted me. He wanted me. Listen, I wasn't looking for God. Matter of fact, a friend of mine walked up to me one time and spoke and talked to me about getting saved. And I looked at him and I told him, if he ever talked to me about that again, I'd knock his teeth down his throat. I wasn't looking for God, man. And I'm the least one. But one morning, I'll tell you what God did. One night, next I bed, had a child on the way to one man to preach. Now, down about 4 o'clock in the morning, outside of bed, and I said, God, I ain't fit for these kids. I said, God, I don't know how to get saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. Now, God, won't you show me how to get saved? I don't want to go to hell. I'll be a daddy to raise them kids right. The next day, Brother Sonny Waller handed me a God sample plan of salvation tracking Camille Company. Now, he was just as scared of me because he knew what I told Brother Tommy Marsden. He's almost afraid to hand me that track. And he said, could I give you this? And I took it out of his hand. I said, yeah. I went over and I read that track. I said, God, it can't be that simple. It can't be that simple, God. With all the wicked lies that live short of God, there's something I gotta do. April 30th, I got up with the Lane Street Baptist Church. Sat on that back pew, and that's what that preacher said. Bless God, that's what he said. He said, the Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you
a rest.
Amen. I said, God, I'm tired of this sinful, wicked, ungodly life, and I need some rest. And thank God, I ran down and I called him by head and said, my name brought me up, and I'm going to hell. I won't get saved. I'm not saying one thing. God save me.
Amen.
We're talking here just for the sermon. I don't understand people that don't go to church.
Amen.
I don't understand when you say that Jesus Christ said, hey, listen, I've been saved 47 years, soon me. 48 years I've been saved by the grace of God, and I have never, never missed a service in the house of God in 47 years except twice in the hospital, one time laying on a bed, so sick. I went to California, son, and I made it plain and clear. I figured out where I could be so I'd be in church on Wednesday night between here and California, brother. I wasn't going to be out of church when God was going to be in church. And I figured out, seen the time, boy, I was coming back for a revival meeting, and buddy, I had to be in the house of God, and I pushed it, and I know I had a boy preaching in that church, and I come walking into church, I said, keep preaching. I just got this guy to you. If I ain't missing church, both preachers went on and said, I've got so many preachers. I was not me, brother. I didn't tell you Jesus Christ done something for me. April the 30th, 1962, I'm telling you, done something for me that caused a ton of love in my heart for the house of God. I mean, I love the house of God.
Amen.
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 Now let us
By the divine grace of God, let us look at this thing. David had that longing. Now, take a good look at yourselves. What makes you valuable? I mean, what makes you valuable? No. You probably said it.
I know I've said it. And I said it to one thing, that God showed me something. I said, I don't know why God saved me. And the Lord said to me, He said, well, I'll tell you why I saved you. He said, I looked at you, and I didn't see nothing worse than you. But He said, I looked at myself. Saw mercy.
Amen.
Saw grace.
Amen.
He said, I want to do it. Show him grace and mercy. He worth saving.
Amen.
God, show him grace and mercy. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ looked in himself and not at you when He saved you, but He saw in Himself that love, that mercy that He could show to you, that you could have life, you could have it more. But that's what made you valuable. Again, what makes the water valuable? Well, these men hazard their lives for it. These men hazard their lives. They put their life. Now they went down there and took on the whole Philistine army down there just to get a drink of water for him. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's somebody else hazard their life more than that. That was Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
I mean, brother, this crowd talk about losing salvation. Let me tell you one thing. Do you think God put His Son through what He put Him through to put it in your hands to get to heaven, not on your life? God didn't let His Son get beat till He didn't even look like a human on the cross of Calvary. He said, I'm a worm, a no man, to put it in your hands and trust you with it. By Lord God, He wouldn't trust me to the back door.
Amen.
God bless in Jesus Christ. It's all the, listen, I got a sign on the back of my car that says, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not about you.
Amen.
This thing is about, the reason we got so much problem in the home, because the wife, she thinks it's about her. The husband thinks it's about him. The kids think it's about him. No! It's about Jesus Christ, and it's not about you.
Amen. Lord.
You all got trouble in church. You think it's about you. Well, the preacher thinks it's about him. No, bless God. It's about Jesus Christ.
Right. Right.
It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole book is about one person. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And God, that's why this crowd hates it. That's why they want to mess with it. That's why they don't like it. Because it's about Jesus Christ. And God to get there, God's got to report them to Jesus Christ. They don't want to get around God.
Amen.
That's right. It's about Him. Thank God I'm blessed about Him. I was telling this dear sister years ago, as a young preacher, I was taught by older preachers. And so I was going to follow. I thought they was teaching me right. And I thought being mean made you a good preacher. Just how mean. There's a preacher runs around all the countryside. I talked about he's the meanest preacher there are. Well, he can be all mean all he wants to. Well, wait till God talks to him one day.
Amen.
Yeah.
God got me one day. You know what He said to me? He said, boy, that's not your sheep.
That's right.
That's my sheep.
Amen.
Yeah. I just put you over them to watch over them and take them. You're not to be Lord over the heritage of God. I learned then how to love. Like people say, how can you stay there 40 years? Preach the Word of God and love them.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, hang around.
Amen.
Nobody's going to be running you off long.
That's right.
Amen. I was telling this sister, we had a family leave our church, and I hated when they left, and they're back. And I'm glad they're coming back. And his wife told my wife, said, you know why we're back? Well, I said, no. She said, Brother Utley never did treat us as though we'd left.
Amen.
Said, every time we come to visit, He treated us just like we never was gone.
Amen.
And said, when we started thinking we need to find us another church, we got to think, the best thing I know to do is go back up there and brother up this church. At least our children's going to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
They're going to get doctoring up there, and then we're going to be loved up there.
Amen.
Amen. I have a dear friend of mine, so he got mad at me and left. Man, he come in and threw the keys down. And he said, I won't be back. I said, Brother, I love you. And he left.
Well, his church where he went to, that preacher, comes at our revival, comes at our camp meeting, he brings his books to sell. And he was going to be gone. And he told us, brother, I want you to sell them books. He said, I can't go back out there. I said, brother, they don't want me back out there. And he said, I think you need to go talk to brother. I think y'all need to get this thing straight. He called me on the phone. He started talking. I said, brother, you're welcome to New Testament Baptist Church anytime you want to come. But he got captured. Boy, he got captured. You know, he was dying. He had that rectal cancer. It was bad. It was bad news. And he, that boy almost lost his mind. And I got him actually got where he could. I got him in the church and preaching one Wednesday night. And our church made up almost $1,000 for him. Our church ain't got that kind of money. They made up almost $1,000. He just sat there and cried like a baby, you know. One preacher said, I wouldn't have let him back in my church. I said, that ain't the way Jesus does.
Right. Amen.
That ain't the way Jesus operates.
Amen.
You can't find where Jesus ever done anything like that. You look in the Word of God, the only time Jesus ever dealt harsh with anybody is a bunch of Pharisees. Now, that's a crowd of Roman. Not like that guy. That's the kind of crowd that Jesus gets on.
Amen.
It's a Pharisee. So he called me. One day, one boy said, Brother Lummi, he didn't talk to you. I said, yeah, Brother Mitch, I do. I said, what is it, son? He said, I done you wrong. He said, you ain't never done nothing against me. I've done you wrong. And I want you to forgive me. I said, son, you've always. I said, I forgive you when you walk out the door.
Amen.
I don't hold grudges. Grudges is for kids.
Amen.
Right. The Bible said, when you're a child, well, not a child, I spake as a child, but when I came a man, I put away my childish ways.
Right.
Amen. I'm serving Jesus Christ. And it doesn't make no difference what anybody shouts about you or dies for you. You got to love them.
Right.
In the grace of God, and God will take care of
it. Exactly.
I always say, buddy, I ain't going to be nothing between me and nobody. If you say, we'll let God settle it over the judgment seat. I don't have to settle here. We'll let God settle the problem on the judgment seat. I'm telling you, they hazard their life, but never did they hazard their life like Jesus Christ in Psalm 22, verse 12 and 13. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of the nation have beset me around. They gape upon me with their mouth as a raven and roaring lion. Who does that sound like? I'm going to tell you, most people don't even know what went wrong with Calvary. People look at Calvary and they read there, but you need to read that book of Psalms. You need to go over to Psalm 22 and read that and take what really happened on Calvary.
Amen.
I mean, on Calvary, the devils were gnashing on Jesus Christ like roaring lions while he hung on the cross. They compassed him about, brother. All the devils of hell compassed the Son of God about. And brother, and his father has forsaken him, and he's doing it all, brother. And he's done it on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
And buddy, they couldn't take his life. They tried to take his life. They wanted to take his life. But Jesus said, no man taketh my life.
Yeah.
I have power to lay it down. I have power to.
Right.
Nobody could take his life.
Yeah.
He laid his life down for me and you. What makes us so valuable is that we are poured out. We are poured out. And one day, we're going to be poured out. That's all we're suggesting, see Christ. I mean, one day we want to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. People's got the idea that they're thinking they're going to give an account for their works.
No, you ain't.
It's singular. Look over in the book, it's work. Not words, it's work. In other words, God gave you work. God gave you work. God gave you work. And then we're going to face God with that work that God gave us. There are some people, well, preacher, I don't know what kind of work. Maybe gave you a work of being faithful.
Amen.
Maybe gave the work of a prayer. I had a prayer warrior. Boy, I'm telling you, I can tell she went on to be a God too. And this is the one boy she smoked all the time. And I'd get on to her and everything. I said, Father, I ask God. Boy, she walked around that little canister. She'd come to church and couldn't get her breath. She sat there one day. She said, preacher, you told me. I didn't listen. She found out I'm paying the price. Do you know what that woman said? She said, I would not have a chance. She said, I'm closer to God now than I've ever been in my life. She said, I pray for you every day, preacher. She'd call me every day of my life. She'd even call me sometimes out of town, when we'd be out of town, and say, preacher, I'm going to call you and tell you I love you my faithful.
Amen.
Now you're in the hospital. She's laying there and she's suffering. Her husband's beside her. The boys from some people from the church. Her kids couldn't take it. So this old boy started singing. And he started singing, when I ring those golden bells. And he's singing that, when I ring those golden bells. And they left out of there. And when he said, can't you hear the bells now ringing? I mean, she smiled, took one breath, and went home to leave the
Amen.
Boy, that girl brother, that crying out there. You can't do nothing with the spiritual side of mom. So God didn't let you see her go home to glory. He let the people that love God to see her. Her husband loved God. He got to see her go home to glory. He got to look at her face, man, and as she smiled and took her breath and left out here, went home to be with God.
Yes.
One day we're going to stand. That way. Do you need a drink? If you need a drink of water, then you're coming to take the drink of water of the well of Bethlehem.
Amen.
I mean, you have opportunity and chance. You're taking a drink of this water, this well. Maybe you need to call one and take a fresh drink of the well of water of Bethlehem.
Amen, brother.
You say, preacher, I need a drink. Well, this area.
Yes.
God wants you ready. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm hoping before this week's over that you're going to be so thirsty that you're going to pick up your Bible and you're going to read it like you ain't never read it before. Because you want everything God's got. And you're going to be so thirsty that everybody's going to be saying, what's wrong? Folks, you say, I'm just so thirsty for God. I'm so thirsty. I wish you'd come on and take me out of this world. I need you to upset something. You get that dream, woman, that thirst for God. I mean, this woman said, give me that drink of water that I never thirsted again. I'm going to tell you one thing. I've thirsted a time or two since I've been saved. And but we need a thirst. I mean, we need a real thirst. I mean, we need a thirst like David had a thirst for the living God. We need to be thirsting for Him so much that we can't wait to get down to the house of God. This, how many of you go home from here and you just can't wait to get back tomorrow?
Amen.
I just can't wait to get back. Man, I want to drink of that well again. I just can't wait to get back to Friday night. More than something. Boy, I just can't wait to get down to Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I need another drink. That's all I need.
Amen.
Never
hit
by, never I close.
Yes.
You want God to put a thirst in you. In your soul. Well, He'll do it. He'll do it if you want it. Not to force yourself on nobody. You got to be willing just to get them before God and say, Lord, I want that drink. I want that thirst. I want that thirst of the well of Bethlehem. That well by the gate. I want a thirst for Jesus Christ. That I just can't get enough of it. I just can't get enough of being around to preach the Word of God, the souls of Zion, the fellowship, the brethren, sisters, that I just can't get enough of it. I want another drink. Our Father, I come to Thee, and I'm asking you, God, to give me that thirst. That real thirst. I mean, such a thirst I'm falling. I can't get enough of Jesus Christ. Now, I've got to hear about it. I got to read about it. I got to talk to it. I got to fellowship with it. I got to have that walk, close walk with Him. I got to hear His voice. Got to hear Him talking to me and telling me and guide me and lead me and comfort me. I got to have that talk. Father, and I'm asking God to do it. I'm asking you to do it for this people here, Lord. It's not by chance, Father, you sent me this way. It is not my chance. I know I believe you're a little band of people, God, that you're wanting to give a thirst to it. I know where the New Testament Baptist Church, that's what's happening to us right now. We're wanting a thirst. We're wanting to get a thirst God. I want to see the power of God get New Testament Baptist Church, Father, like I saw years ago. I'm not talking about God. When you come and meet us, it just looks like a fallen city. And I'm talking about being so real. Our God, the people's hearts are being broken. God, I want to see it. And then I know that there's a preacher friend of mine down in Jacksonville, Florida, who's been calling me, and he's wanting the same thing. Now, Lord, I'm asking God that all over this countryside, if we can get some fires burning. Now, Lord, we know that there ain't going to be no great revival. And America's going to turn their back on God. But the people of God can have it, Lord. We don't have to go out of here defeated. I mean, when Jesus comes, we don't have to be a people defeated. We can have victory in our soul and the power in our life and go out of here shouting, praising God, giving glory. Yes. Father, I'm asking you to do that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Here comes Pat and play the piano and then the faithful tonight. I want you to stand to your feet. Turn your hymn books to page 81. I'll give you a couple of stanzas of Just As I Am. We heard the message tonight. It's up to us to act on it. Oh, Jesus, how much we appreciate it. I've seen this man preach.
Amen.
He preached. The Holy Ghost used this man, the Spirit of God.
Just chose that one to close in. I think he wanted to show he could do it.